Hello and welcome to Season of the Witch with Rowan Oaken
and Tess Lauren, the show where we spill the tea on witchcraft
and read the leaves to filth.
What?
That's the new theme tune.
Yeah. Everyone's a sexy baby and I'm just the monster on the hill.
Oh, yes, please. So, we've not been here since, I was like, when was it? And I looked when the last episode was, and it was the 18th of motherfucking July.
Oof. Yeah, because we were just transitioning into summer, weren't we? We were having our little, yeah.
And we're like, oh, what will we be foraging for summer? And now summer's gone. We're midway through autumn.
Autumn's almost gone.
A lot of stuff is gone. It's been intense. So I suppose for the listeners, why have we not been putting out content? What's the reason? What's wrong with us?
Lives. Our lives have just gotten in the way there a little bit, haven't they?
They sure have.
And I think because you do the editing specifically in your life, because you're so busy being a teacher and all that jazz, that, you know, finding time to edit is just not a thing. So, and then also trying to like get together to do this also becomes an issue. Because we both work full-time jobs, yay capitalism. So it just like we never end up together.
Yeah.
At the same time to be able to record. So hopefully going forward, we can stick to our schedules.
And
no promises.
I suppose that's the other thing. We're looking to move the podcast to be something that is more live, unedited, raw.
Just, raw.
So you're going to get rambles from now on. So I feel like I'm not even apologizing for this. I'm just like, this is what you're gonna get. If you're gonna want to listen to us from now on, if you're gonna want to continue, this is what it's gonna
you
be.
You know what, I had a thought. If Jenny Blonde can do it, we can do it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, that sounds disparaging. If Jenny can do it,
we can do it. You know, she's over here with like the number one witch podcast and we're over here just rambling about Taylor Swift.
I think that's what we should do. We should be the new Taylor Swift podcast.
Yeah, we should.
It's been busy. I started my doctoral research in September. So I'm telling you things that you already know, Tess. This is weird.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's moment, fair. Isn't it?
This is like
the listeners.
The listeners don't know. Started my doctoral research. So I'm working full time and also doing, I've gone back to school. So that's pretty freaking stressful. Got a cat. I don't know whether on the 18th of July I had a cat at that point. Did I? I don't know. I don't
think. When did you get Banks? I don't even know.
I feel like
I don't even know now.
Maybe I did. Got a cat. He's actually here right now. Did I say hello?
He's a big boy.
He is a big boy. Ready?
He's a Maine Coon, yeah?
He's a Maine Coon. Can you say hi?
Look at his beautiful face. Oh, hello, big boy. The listeners are like, what the?
What is going on? Yeah, he's a beautiful big boy, Maine Coon, Binks the cat. He's 9 months old now, I think.
Wow.
And the listeners don't know that. Yes, might have seen him on Instagram. I might have seen a picture as well of him quite recently of where he now has three legs. So he fell off the house on my birthday as well. Lovely birthday
tree. Oh, baby.
Binks. And he's had to have his leg removed. So now he is a tripod cat.
Is he adjusting well though? They usually do
really well. He's really, really well. He can get upstairs, he can jump up, he does like to be carried a lot.
What a baby.
So yeah, he likes a lot of carries, likes a lot of cuddles more now, because I think it's probably a bit exhausting walking around all of the time.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
What else have we had? Halloween.
We did. Pretty uneventful. I was quite ill actually for Halloween. I know that you had a very eventful night as well. So I don't think we both celebrated it as planned.
No, I've still got my pumpkin that I want to carve. And I look at it now and I'm just like, disappointed.
This is like, I don't know who else felt like this. Just me bringing the sads already here. I did not feel like, I was so excited come September for October for the spooky season. And then like come like the first week of October, I was already over it. And it wasn't that like I wasn't over it, I just wasn't excited. It just didn't feel like Halloween to me, like Halloween season. And I don't know if that's because I started a new job and there was like a lot of pressure and stress, or if like I wasn't mentally in a space for it. But this is the first year probably in years that I can ever remember that I've not felt excited for Samhain or Halloween or anything. And I was just like incredibly disappointed. And I still don't have the heart to take down my Halloween decorations because I feel like
Don't do it. Just don't do
no.
it. It's your
No,
permission slip.
I'm
You
just
can have it
like,
all year round.
we carved pumpkins and everything, but like usually like I'll carve pumpkins and like I'll make like pies and things like that and do all this like really creative stuff. And I didn't even like bake my pumpkin seeds this year, which is
You
so
bitch.
sacrilegious. I know. So I was like really not in it this year, and I'm hoping next year I can just, but also side tangent here. You know, I love those.
That's what this podcast is about.
My neighbors, I'm not even joking. One of my, okay, so like I'm in this like not shared housing. I don't know what you call it in the UK, but it's like it's a bunch of houses and they're all
You're
next
gonna
to each
call
other. Like it looks, yeah. Yeah.
like
And
terrace
every single,
house.
it kind of like I've got like one, it's like a block of houses. It's all like connected. And then like there was like individual houses, but it looks like all one house. It's so,
Yeah,
anyway,
that's just a terraced house.
terrace house. Yeah. So I have like one, two, three, four. I have like six neighbors attached to me. And then across from me is another terrace house that has like probably 10 people.
Yeah.
I was the only one up until October 30th that had any decorations out. And I don't know if that's my Canadian ass coming out and being like,
Don't.
North American Halloween.
My
But
road here. Same here. It's a really
yeah.
it's quite a British thing, really, is to not bother with Halloween. People aren't really a big fan.
I get, and it grinds my gears, man, because I love it so much.
Yeah.
And I promised my husband, because the year before they like saw our pumpkins and everybody started getting excited, but it was something about this year. And I told my husband, next year I'm getting lights and I'm getting like big giant blow up pumpkins and like I'm doing the whole thing. And they can get on board, man. Like they can get on board.
See, last year people felt like they did a bit more of a job of it, and then this year less people seem to on our road. I
Is
was
that
the you know we go all out. We've got a smoke machine, we've got inflatables, we've got lights, we've got music, the whole nine yards. I don't even know
That's
what
my
they
goal.
like.
That is
Why
my
nine
goal.
yards? Why nine yards?
That's a good question. I think it's like an American football term.
Oh, okay. Well,
Yeah.
that's why it makes no sense to me then, I guess.
That's fair.
Listeners, tell me why it's 9 yards.
I don't know.
Thing. But yeah, no,
Like
we
I watch sports. The only sports I ever watched was like curling and hockey.
no, you well that's because you're a Canadian.
Yeah, that's very Canadian.
I
And ice skating when I was young. Yeah.
yeah, we had a really good October at the start. You know, we went to a lot of horror
Yeah.
mazes, spooked ourselves silly, loved dressing up, fun times. And I was really into it at the beginning of October. Cooking with pumpkin and squash every single week because we grew so many squashes this year, it was
I
stupid.
know you and your green thumb and your little garden and your little homestead thing going on. So jealous. You should get chickens. Oh,
We don't like, I feel like it'd be a lot of hassle.
yeah.
And I don't like
That's
anything.
my dream. I want chickens.
I
Just try to push my dreams on you. I want to live
think they
vicariously through
probably
you with
eat them as
chickens.
well.
Yeah.
I'm for the listeners can't see me right now. I'm holding Binks up, pretending he's eating chicken.
I think also because I turned like 32 weeks ago, which was like smack dab in the middle of October.
Congratulations!
So yeah, thank you.
You ate a
I don't
pumpkin
tell
pie for
anyone.
that.
No, I did. Okay, so I actually
No,
did
that was
the only time.
Canada Day or something.
No, it was Thanksgiving. You're close.
I don't fucking know anything, do I?
Canada Day is like the 1st of July or something. Thanksgiving.
It was Valentine's Day, wasn't it? St. Patrick's Day.
So I hadn't done like a Canadian Thanksgiving in like years, which by the way is a different date than America, because America does theirs like the 2nd week in November and we do ours like the 1st or 2nd Monday or something ridiculous of October. I can't remember. I've been away too long. So but I wanted to do it because a roast dinner here and like a Christmas dinner here is a totally different vibe than a Thanksgiving dinner out of Canada. It's a lot sweeter. We use like a lot of brown sugar and stuff in our roast.
How funny. I was just having this conversation with my friend Cheyenne this morning about weird international traditions, and I went to a Christmas celebration in Taiwan with people from around the world, and yeah, Canadians and North Americans making dishes, and they that there was so much sugar in things.
There is my
Why is it?
husband absolutely was like, I made it for him because I had my in-laws come over. So his parents came over. So his mom and his stepdad came over, and I was like, oh, I want to make Thanksgiving and it's all going to be this whole thing. And so I made candied yams. I made a candied ham. I made green bean casserole, like all my favorites. And they all sat down and they were eating and they really liked it. But at the end, my husband was like, my God, that was way too sweet. Like that was just, and they're not used to it here. Like they're
No.
not used, no one is used to a sweet, sweet meals with brown sugar in them and stuff like that, which I thought was.
No. I well, the thing is, most of British food all comes from like wartime ration foods.
Of course, yeah.
It's all very bland. There's
Yes.
it's poorly seasoned and it's brown or white. Though
Yeah, it's meat and
that's
potatoes.
meat and potatoes. That is
Meat and potatoes.
British cuisine.
Grow a green bean in there, maybe, or like some corn,
No,
but like
no,
that's.
no, we don't do that here.
Oh
No.
my God, he was devastated too. He was like, where are the Yorkshires? I was like, sweetie, this is a Canadian Thanksgiving. We don't have Yorkshires. And he was like, where are the fucking Yorkie puds? I was like, I'm sorry.
It's a crime that you couldn't just like have it on the side as like and
Oh no.
to symbolize your union.
I should have. Next year I'll do that. But I was adamant this year. I was like, there are no Yorkie puds on this plate. It's not happening. It's not.
Do Yorkshire puddings like do they make their way over to Canada?
Yes, but it's like if you make a roast beef dinner, you have a Yorkshire pudding with like the gravy in it. It's not like part of the roast dinner because we don't do that. Like we don't have Sunday lunch, like Sunday roasts, like it's not a thing. So, and even at Christmas, like we don't even have Yorkshire puddings at Christmas, hardly.
I love how
I
we've not
know.
talked about witchcraft once yet as
I
well.
know.
Yeah,
I love it. Welcome back, guys. Okay.
like in terms of like Samhain and Halloween, like Tess, like I'll tell the listeners this one. My Halloween night was shit. Really,
Halloween nightmare.
it
Jesus.
was a Halloween, not even like a good kind. I wasn't even like choked
No, it's
or
traumatizing.
I was just traumatized. Yeah, we had some horrible trick-or-treaters who knocked on our door and then tried to be quite verbally and physically abusive, trying to kick our door down. They were egging our house, which egging our house, that's fine, that's Halloween, shit like that happens. But they were being really homophobic, and my son was there as well, so he's hearing all of this happen. And the worst, but the bit that like really upset me, like looking because we've got a Ring door camera, so I can see all that footage back. Like I open the door and I go, Happy Halloween! And that just really like upsets me just watching myself like excited. And they all reach into the bowl, grab all the sweets and start pelting me with the sweets. And I'm just like, what the fuck's going on? And then they start egging me. And in the inside of the house, it's taken off the paint on the inside of our hallway. Like egg yolk sticks to paint.
Oh, and you, God, don't let it dry because it's like the hardest thing to get off.
That was my first thought. I
Yeah.
was like, get this shit.
Oh.
So after that, we took our decorations down. They were trying to ruin shit, so we took everything down. And when I say,
Oh.
you've seen the pictures, we've got
Yeah, I saw the
all
picture.
those lights, hundreds of pumpkins. We grow corn as well, specifically for decorative purposes. That's how extra we are. We
That
so
is so extra. God, I gold. I mean, dang.
We have all our corn plants up, and we took all of them down and everything, and composted all of that. And I'm doing that all Halloween night, and I'm just thinking, like, I'm really trying hard at that point to just not blub into complete sadness and cry. Because for
Because
me,
the police came too, didn't
the
they?
police came to our house. Yeah, like the neighbors called the police. And they
Oh, thank
said,
God they're English.
yeah, I was just, that never happens. You never get the police around for something as silly as this. But they watched the footage and they said, do you want to prosecute? Because they're using a lot of gay slurs in here. Yeah, like trigger warning. They were calling me a faggot. They were calling me queer, which I'm fine with, like whatever.
But it's the malice
And
behind it. not the words. Do you know what I mean? It is the words, but
Absolutely. Yeah.
yeah.
I've received worse homophobic abuse in my life. I absolutely have. It's worse when it's on your doorstep.
Of
That
course, yeah.
really sick. And that was the main reason why we didn't prosecute, was because it happened on our doorstep. And we don't want people knowing where we live, turning up and causing more trouble.
Yeah.
So it's logged and the police know who they are. It kind of ties you into a situation where you do feel incredibly helpless.
Yeah.
And for us, for me especially, in our family, Halloween is like what most other people would equate to like Christmas Day, like Halloween
Yeah,
night.
totally. It's the same in mine. Yeah, 100%.
I look forward to it. So like we even have a Halloween advent calendar, which is a really weird, you can't really call it an advent calendar. It's taken from Christianity, but so I don't know. But that's what we equate it to.
Do
Halloween
you make
countdown
it?
calendar. It's handmade, yes.
Oh, I love that. Oh my gosh.
I might have it here. I've got it behind me.
I need to see this. Oh, this is great. I need to do this next year. Is it? Oh my God, I love that. Oh, it's wooden.
It's Nightmare Before
Oh, and
Christmas
it's
one.
Nightmare Before
It's got
Christmas.
little doors. So it's my husband made it, and it's got all the different characters there.
Oh
Sorry.
my God, honestly.
He made that for, he makes me something Halloweeny every Christmas, and he made this
That
one.
is the cutest thing. That is the cutest thing.
It is
God, he's
the
more creative than I am.
cutest. He's amazing. He's amazing at making stuff. So
Oh, I love that.
we put a lot of effort into that build up, and to have someone take advantage of you, to abuse you in your own home, in your own home, just made me feel really, really shitty.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And then I spent the rest of the night, number one, getting blitzed drunk because I felt like I had to deal with this
I
in
mean,
some way.
totally justified. I just have to put that out there. That is absolutely justified.
I felt like it was too. And then I was like, I'm gonna contact my mum because the veil is thin and she might tell me something. And
You have that, that's like our immediate reaction. It's like, my ancestors, because the veil is thin. Like, what? Way to go, Roan.
so I sat there like on my own at like 1 in the morning, got work the next day, and I'm like burning mugwort up in the living room, and then I've got like a picture of my mum, and I'm just like, it's like everything's fine. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm just a bit drunk. And of course, get nothing. A, probably because I'm a bit too blitzed drunk. Number two,
Yeah.
number two, this is a different one actually. We're going on it. We're getting witchy now. We're getting witchy in this
Getting on
conversation.
a journey. Yes, love this.
We are on a journey. Ever since my mum passed away, I've tried so much to get in touch with her through my own mediumship, piss poor skills, and also through contacting other mediums.
Yeah.
Nothing, zero, silch. And I had this conversation. Jenny is appearing in the podcast again now. I had this conversation with Jenny
We
recently.
should just have her on.
We should have her on. We should be like, Jenny, we talk about you enough. I had this conversation with her this week of why are some spirits contactable and some completely unreachable?
Interesting. I'd like to know what her and your thoughts are, because like I have my own thoughts on that as well, which I think we probably all do, but
What are your thoughts?
I think that like there are certain, well, it depends what you believe. If you believe that spirits are spirits, or they're other dimensional beings, or they're like what am I trying to say, like a little bit of a blip left in time, like it's a time thing. But I think there are different like levels of like passing away, whether your energy stays on the earth or it doesn't, or what have you. So there might be like different levels of like maybe someone's spirit passes on or energy passes on and others remain, as most people would say, because they have unfinished business. And that's kind of like the quirky like ghost hunter language, where they're like, oh, they have unfinished business, so they're staying on this plane so that they can reach their family, or like whatever. Sorry, I'm like making this really kitschy, but like, do you know what I mean? Like, so I think there are different levels of energy, and maybe especially like, for example, people have have it where, like, say something really traumatic happens, like their family, like there's a family and they get murdered. This is terrible. I don't know where I'm going with this. But like, and there's like that trauma and there's that like negative energy there that that's kind of like a blip in time. And so that energy remains, that spirit remains because it can't pass on or what have you. So that's kind of where my thoughts are on that.
But in Europe, where does it go then? If it what you're passing on, where does it pass to?
I think it just like in my personal thoughts is that it just it, I am not religious in any way. In that sense, I don't believe in a heaven and or a hell. I believe that your time on this earth is your time on this earth. And I think that if you pass away, your energy either remains or it just dissipates and it just goes, and then that's your time, you're done. I don't know. That sounds really morbid, but I can't really explain it in any other way
No,
than that.
I must admit, I feel very similar. I feel I and the language of like passing on, I think, feels quite loaned from a very, in my opinion, from my experience of growing up and being brought up in a Christian school. It sounds quite Christian, passing on, going on to heaven, or hell. And I must admit, when my mum died, I remember that a feeling of stillness. That she just didn't exist anymore, and I couldn't feel her around me, I'm finding that really kind of uneasy. You know, when people are like, I can feel my mum with me now, and I'm like, no, I never can. I never can. I never get a sense of her being near me or around me, and that's I find that really interesting. As I, you know, there's sometimes I get a sense of like a something else or someone else, but never. Her and I've been to other mediums before, and no one's ever. I've actually gone and been like, this is who I want to contact. This is a picture of her. And people have just been like, I've got nothing. I've got nothing for you. Like, I'm like, where's she gone? Into like a black hole, down the plug drain? Plug drain?
Yeah,
Plug hole?
bye. Like I know. And that's it's weird too, because you get all this pressure from other people, and like you watch medium shows, or like you talk to people who have paranormal experiences, and people who are like, oh, I can feel this person with me. And that puts a lot of pressure on you, because you're like, am I supposed to be able to feel this person? Am I supposed to, like, what is wrong? Something's wrong. But it may just have been in my thoughts that that person fulfilled whatever they needed to or didn't, and they just went. And that's
I think that's what makes it more problematic, though. Oh, this is an interesting topic around Samhain. What I find quite problematic there, though, is I feel like she had a lot of motherfucking unfinished business, bitch.
No, knowing you as you're my friend, so I know a little bit of the history. Absolutely, she did.
I'm like,
So
come back here now. I've got
come
things
on.
to say.
Yeah, no, 100%. No, so but maybe that was like her last fuck you, do you know?
Yeah, she's like, oh, lights
Oh
off
God.
in the sky. Yeah, no, and I think so many of my siblings, they would say the same. There's things that they want. There's guidance that they want. You know, she died when I was really young. There's things that I would hope she would have wanted to stick around to see. There's things I would hope stick around to want to say. And that so that kind of like pisses me off. And that makes me kind of question things as well. It makes me question elements of spiritualism, the elements of contacting the deceased, contacting, you know, going through mediumship. It makes me begin to question it is how like where does someone go? Where does the essence go? Where do we take it from? What makes something just completely disappear, dissipate, dissolve into nothingness?
So I have an interesting, like, I'll keep this story like really brief. I think I've mentioned this to you before, but I kind of feel the same. And I had never experienced anything until a few years ago. And what ended up happening, basically, I saw my chair move. I've talked about this so many times. I think I've spoken to you about this as well.
Whether I know this one.
So basically, like, I have always been a believer in spirits, aliens. We know this like whole thing. Like, I'm just a weirdo. But we kind of all are. We're all into that stuff.
If you're
And but I
listening to this
never
podcast, you are.
Yeah, and I'd like never experienced anything firsthand. I'd never seen anything, heard anything, felt anything. Like I was just, and I was always searching for it because I really wanted to. But there was also that element. That's also the element of like you're absolutely terrified because it's the unknown. And in my old house, I used to have like these like laminate wooden floors, and it was Christmas time, And I had taken the chair from upstairs to hang the wreath on my door. And basically, I left the chair in like the, it was an open plan living room. So like the kitchen was there and the living room was here, and like you could see through. It was like all one room basically. And so I left the chair in front of me, like maybe 3 feet in front of me while I was on the floor wrapping presents, and my cats were playing. And basically my cats started fighting and then got spooked and ran up the stairs. And as I looked to them, as they were running up the stairs, I got this like weird feeling and this like urge to look up. And as I looked up, I looked directly, I had this feeling to look directly at the chair. And as I looked at the chair, it fully shifted. Like it moved, like someone had moved it to sit in it. And it was terrifying to the point where I ran out of my house and like sat outside for like half an hour because I couldn't explain it. And it's that rationalization. But the thing was, I'd never felt anything weird in that house. And no one who came into my house, medium or not, or, you know, people that I know in the community, nobody had ever felt weird in that house. So it was kind of like, why did it happen at that time? What had gone on? Like, why was there just a blip of energy? You know, that just what happened. And I can't explain it to this day. The only thing that I, you know, ever could rationalize with it is that my husband's dad came over one day and mentioned to me that it was the possibility that the chair was sat in front of my curio cabinet where all my witchy things was. And that's like the only, yeah, that's like the only thing that I can associate with it, that maybe I attracted something or something was attached to my like antique curio cabinet. But other than that, it's like, why did that happen? In that, I've never seen anything else. Nothing else ever happened in that house. I did a full cleanse on the house. Everything was fine. We still have the chair. I still have the curio cabinet. I got no weird vibes. So I'm like, why did that happen when it did? Do you know? Like, it's really weird. It's like a blip. It's like a blip in time. And like, why did it happen then? I don't know.
Thinking of like periods of time, like this time here, and the veil being thin, etc. We throw these terms around as well, actually. I'm realizing, the veil between the living and the dead, and we're just like, do our listeners even like? You might be a new
Know what we're talking about.
if you're a new time listener, this is a weird episode to hop in on. I'd go listen to a different episode. I'm just like blaming our listeners now. How rude. I didn't feel like the veil has been particularly thin for me at this time of year.
No.
I must admit, I feel that I don't get the same kind of energy around the house. Our house is quite an active house. I try not to tell my husband that too much because he hates the idea of that, but it's a really super active house. And it's quite interesting because it sits between two woodlands, and I feel like it feels like I get the sense of like energy passing through between the woods. And that's the kind of the almost like something's kind of walking through. It can be really fleeting. I want to hop back actually to talk about me again.
I love talking about you. It's fine.
I was talking about my mom and her spirit. And I remember when she first passed away, for 4 to 5 years, I would dream about her at least once or twice a month.
Interesting.
I don't dream about her hardly at all anymore. And there's that kind of conversation of within dreams, that's kind of ghosts able to reach out of you when you're in that kind of liminal state between the waking world and the dream world, which is kind of a veil unto itself. But within those dreams, whenever my mum was in those dreams, she was always dead. How fucking weird. And she would
That
be
is
dead,
weird.
but she would be able to talk as a dead body, but she wouldn't be like moving her mouth, and she was dead as she was in the hospital room.
I wonder if that's like a mix between your psyche, though, and
That's what I think.
like you processing what had happened, right? And not like being able to, like, because when you have past emotions for somebody and then all of a sudden they're gone, it's about that process, isn't it? Of like coming to terms with the fact that they, you know, whenever we grieve, like that they're gone. And I wonder if that was either your psyche or maybe it was her. You never know, right? That's it.
Where was I in my story? Oh yeah, the dream. So in the dream, she's dead. That already that is weird. That I'm not having a dream where she's like, "Hello, my son, my child." Not only is she dead, she's also dead in the back of my car.
Oh.
Lay
Oh.
lay down on the passenger seat, and
Like
I'm
a hearse?
no, like a man, like just a regular car, and
That's so weird.
she's lay like she's having a nap, but she did.
I can't right now. I'm so
And
angry.
I'm driving the car, and I'm going down like country lanes, and the steering wheel is like loosey-goosey, and it when I go around corners, it won't seem to manage. So it's out, the car is out of control. I can't control the car, and she's in the back of the car just trying to have a conversation with me, and I'm so focused on the road that I can't have a conversation with her. I'm just like, this is too much.
Oh my God, there's a lot to unpack there.
There is a lot to unpack there. There is a lot. I'm going to
Oh
probably have
no.
loads of listeners being like, this is what it means. You need to.
Of course, yeah. But like we can all make speculations as to what it means, but only really you would know what it means because it's your life, isn't it? Right? So
My first initial interpretation is that me having this feeling in those first few years where she passed away, I was a young adult. I was in out of control in my life. I didn't have any control. I felt like I was, carrying this big weight of losing my parents, and not having anyone to support me, and feeling like I didn't have any direction. I didn't know how to steer my own direction. That would be my interpretation of it. I think that's a pretty solid interpretation. There was
Yeah,
something else I
absolutely.
wanted to mention. I want to move on from that topic because there's like
Okay,
too much to
yeah.
pack in today. Now I don't normally find myself over on the sides of witch talk.
Oh no, I know where this is going.
But it came up on my TikTok feed, and I must admit, TikTok's now become this thing where my husband and I, we watch it before bed,
Oh
because
yeah, same. My husband and I do that too.
it's just a really fun thing to unwind with, and as long as
It
if you find yourself in the right side of the algorithm, it
is.
is fun. But a witchy thing came up, and I was a bit excited. I was like, oh, how's this got into my algorithm? Have this.
Oh no.
I can't tell you the name of the guy, the handle. I didn't record any of this. This just popped into my head, but I thought it was a really interesting thing to question on our podcast. This guy puts a question out to Witch Talk, to the witches of TikTok, the witches of the internet, and he says, I want to prove that magic isn't real.
Wow.
And to do that, I want you all to hex me. Interesting. So he goes and he sends like locks of his hair, clothes out, different bits of his body and his person to be hexed. And then he's then reporting on this and essentially explaining, well, nothing's happened. Nothing has happened. You've all hexed me, the power of all these witches, and
But he doesn't
nothing.
believe in it. If he doesn't believe in it and he doesn't believe that magic is real, this is my point, right? How can something affect him in that way? Do you know what I mean? He's not opening himself up to be hexed. Not that we ever do, but as witches, we're vulnerable to energy. If he's not vulnerable to that and he's not opening himself up, this is my counter argument for this, is that of course he's not going to be hexed because he's not going to be recognizing the signs of being hexed. He's going to be like, oh, I stubbed my toe. Oh, I missed my bus. You know, whatever the hell it is, minor or not, him not believing in it is that step that's missing because he doesn't believe in it. How can, sorry, that's my argument.
So, does that mean that there are some people that are unhexable?
Oh, potentially, but like also like as a witch, like it's our belief, and it's our like getting it off our chest. So if we were to hex, not that I ever hex per se, but if I was to like do a binding spell or something like that, for example, it's to get it off of my chest, my anger, my frustration, at a person, place, or thing that's happening in my life. It's about getting rid of that pent up energy that I feel. Do you know what I mean? Towards that. It's not necessarily about the outcome that happens on the other end. If something happens, then maybe the universe was on my side. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But really, as a witch, I find that my practice is about being able to take care of myself, my family, my loved ones, and healing myself. You know what I mean? So I feel like it's not about the outcome of what happens to the other person, place, or thing. It's about how I get it off my chest. And I feel like that question is, I don't know. I feel very I feel very weird about that, about someone just opening themselves up to
I think it's incredibly interesting because the conversation around witchcraft on social media for a while has not been in a position where anyone that I've seen has actually just gone, right, let's test this. I know
Yeah.
it's not a scientific test by any means, but I feel like that conversation never really gets brought into the conversations around witchcraft is
No.
the measuring. I think it's, and there's always a reason of like, oh well, it's about belief, it's about intention, but what if we all collectively believe in the truth of witchcraft, why is no one then bringing out evidence to prove? I'm probably going to get lots of angry people listening to this podcast
No,
and what I'm
I
saying.
get where you're going with this, and I do agree with you in the sense of like, where is the proof? Where
Yes.
is the solidarity in the practice? But and this is going to be controversial for listeners as well. My witchcraft isn't about the magic for me. You know, when I and I've talked about this on the podcast before, you know, like I said, my magic is about taking care of myself and the people around me. It really has nothing to do with magic in the sense of magic. Yes, I believe in you know the universe, and I believe that things happen for a reason and things don't happen for a reason. You know, you have no control over it. But before I came out as calling myself a witch, I always refer to myself as spiritual, and I've talked about this as well before because that is what I am. I'm spiritual in a sense because I believe in a certain thing, but not necessarily everybody is going to believe in that. And I think because of that individuality that we have in the craft, there is no hard or fast rule. And that's why there's no solidarity. Do you know what I mean? Because everybody is different and everybody does it different. But also, there is that aspect where sometimes I have lost faith in my spirituality because there isn't any solidarity. I'm like, well, this hasn't worked for me. Why isn't it working for me? And so you take a step back because you feel like witchcraft isn't real. Everybody does. Everybody in the craft has had that at one point. You can't tell me that everybody in the craft has not had that thought at one point. You know
Yes,
what I mean?
yes. So I suppose this raises that interesting question of then, can skepticism actually exist within spirituality, well, spiritualism and witchcraft? Can you remain skeptical?
I do. Because I'm a very scientific person. I'm sure, I think you are too, aren't you? So like, it's hard. It's hard because I do believe in things when I need to believe in them. If I'm in a really, really bad place mentally, if reading tarot or doing a spell or, you know, some form of practice, if I feel like that's going to help me, it's going to help me because it's keeping me occupied, busy, and I can focus my energy in somewhere else. But my skepticism is still always there at the back of my mind. Like, you know, we all feel silly as well sometimes. You know, when you're sitting at your altar, you're making a circle, you're lighting, you know, a bay leaf on fire, you're writing runes, you're making sigils. We all feel weird about it sometimes. And that
I
is
think
in the
so.
back of your mind, that is your skepticism, isn't it? That
Yes.
what we're doing is uncomfortable and a little bit silly. So I don't know. I think it.
And maybe that is sometimes part of the problem. And with this example that is used on TikTok, is there too much skepticism for something to ever work?
Yeah. That's a solid point.
Is it a case of a watch pot never boils
Yeah.
situation?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
It's like when you if you've ever done any kind of ghost hunting, and you're like, if there's somebody there, send me a
Do I need to
sign, and nothing happens. But then
bring up a Cora again?
oh, fucking Derek Acorah, I love him, I love him, I love him,
Eric
I love
Cora.
him.
Every time.
Sam, you there, Sam? But it happens when you're not looking, when you're not
Yes.
thinking about it.
Like the
But then,
chair. Why did
like
that
the chair.
happen when it happened?
Yeah. But it's the thing that I sometimes struggle with is I'm here on this podcast, and I think that this is one of the things that maybe I bring to, and we both bring to this podcast that maybe you don't see on other podcasts, is I do come from a space of academia, and where the scientific method is very much revered in the way that we look at the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I find that is really challenging to my own belief systems, where actually so much is not provable through the scientific method, and it's about belief. Belief mm-hmm. is incredibly challenging, I think, to begin to rationalize. When, you know, why I'm doing this because I believe it will do this. I've got no proof that it's going to do this. I've just got the belief that it will. But then it's really disrupting when you do apply the scientific methods to something to say, well, actually, if I've got belief and an outcome will happen, it should be provable. I should be able to, it should be measurable.
I feel that, yeah.
And, you know, and I try and do that through journaling, through kind of tracking what I've done and then talking about its outcome.
That with tarot as well. Like I do that with tarot. Yeah. Like you do tarot reading here. And then, or you get a tarot reading from someone. Like I get some from my mother-in-law, and I don't always necessarily write it down, but I remember bigger points. And then when something happens, my mind always goes back to that moment in that reading that I've had or done.
Yes.
And I go, oh, is that just a coincidence? And that's where your mind goes. Your mind immediately, from an academic background, your mind immediately goes to like, oh, well, that's just a coincidence, or like, you know, that could have happened to anybody. Mm-hmm. And that's where your immediate thought goes. It's not, oh, my tarot reading came true. And maybe that's just us. I don't know. But like, it's very much like that.
There's two things I think that are at play though. There's number one is confirmation bias. So you're kind of looking for that result. So you're going to find it.
Yeah, exactly.
And the other one
that can also, I was just going to say, that can also put blinders on. That can blind you a little bit in regards to like how you view the world.
Yes.
And that's where I have to stop myself, because I don't want to put blinders on and just believe that things happen like that, you know, all the time, because I have to rationalize. So I don't know. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's really, and I think maybe that's something that doesn't happen to a lot of, either happens with beginners and it stops them from progressing, or it's not happening with those that have been in the craft for a really long time and they're maybe doing things and not questioning. I always think it's important to continue to question and to rationalize aspects. I also think there's an issue here of the difference between correlation and causation.
Yes, you talk about this a lot actually, which I appreciate.
You know, and that kind of goes down to you know, these two things correlate. You know, this has happened and I've done a spell. They correlate. Was that then going to happen regardless of the spell? Or is it causation? Have I done the spell and it's happened?
And it's happened, yeah. Yeah.
We should be the science witches. That should be our
that should be our new podcast. The science witches.
And that's something I would like, especially at this time of year, when, you know, when the veil is thin and I'm kind of working more with spirit. That is that though, it's those questions that I have, and it's that kind of level of skepticism that level of silliness that I work to try and shrug off. I think in the lighter half of the year, I'm very much working with very grounded magics, very much with the earth, and then with the dark half of the year, it's more spirit based. Magics that sometimes I really struggle with, in just in terms of it feeling quite abstracted from working with herbs that I can see have a positive effect on the body, a positive effect on my mood, on my health, and you know, even just the idea of setting an intention. It's setting a goal. It's setting a goal. Like let's be real.
Honestly, and this is it. There is that, and I talk about this all the time. I do. But it is that, like, witchcraft and what am I trying to say? Like, healing, like the healing world, like the yogis and stuff. There's like an overlap, isn't there? Where we're doing self-help, but we're also doing witchcraft. And I feel like that line has been quite blurred over the years, hasn't it? Where it's like, oh, I'm doing witchcraft, but really, I'm doing journal prompts,
Yes.
and it's like, oh, I'm doing witchcraft, but really I'm just like exercising my body. And like, yes, we can put our energy into that, and it is technically witchcraft because we're putting our intentions into it. But really, there's, your average Instagram girl doing yoga and like hashtag I'm a witch. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's very much like an overlap, and it's like, how do you differentiate between the two?
I think, hold on that word, overlap. I think it's been overlapped, as in like stress on the over. It's been too, there's maybe too much overlap sometimes, to the point where even I'm unsure now of actually what that line is. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's good to blur and keep the lines unsure as to actually what is witchcraft, what is not witchcraft. And I feel like witchcraft is becoming even more of a contested term within the community as the years go by.
Okay, so I'm gonna go on another tangent here. I watched the new Craft movie recently,
No,
and I haven't seen
you
it.
did. It's awful. Why did
It's
you do it?
awful. But what I noticed with it is that it was very much aesthetic witchcraft in legacy. It
Yes.
went from, if you have seen religiously the original Craft in the 90s, it was very Wicca-based because that was
Very
what was happening.
Wicca-based.
Very Wicca-based, very like darker side of witchcraft in that sense, if I can put quote air quotations around darker. And then you watch the new one, and it's a bunch of girlfriends doing spells in the woods, but they have like the triple moon goddess everywhere, and they're doing a milky bath ritual, and they're like, it's all this like it's all this shit. And I was like, what? But then they're also talking about telepathy and all this stuff, and I was like, hey, whoa, like this is getting out of control now. And I kind of miss, and I this is going to be really controversial because a lot of people went through a lot of stuff in the 90s and early 2000s coming out as witches. People were relentlessly bullied and blacklisted because they practiced witchcraft. And I'm not saying I want it to go back to that, but I would really like it to be more taboo than it is now. It's gotten out of control.
No, do you know what? I think I know what it is. I know what it is. I think
Tell us, bro.
I know what it is. I know the answer to everything. I'm all knowing. I am on
42, sorry.
42, yeah. The meaning of the world, meaning of life. Witchcraft has really come out of a queering space. I'm not talking like an LGBTQIA plus.
What you mean. Yeah.
A place of the queer, the unusual, going against the norms of society. Witchcraft was a from a place of feminism, of feminist protest,
Yeah.
and it's lost its critical stance. It's lost it, not completely, but it's lost its protest. It's lost its power. It's I've right from the beginning of this podcast, I've always been talking about like witchcraft as kind of like this place of emancipation for people who are subjected to oppression, people who are pushed down in society and use witchcraft as a way to rise above something that they don't feel that they've got power of or power over. And I think current contemporary, particularly social media based witchcraft, and a lot of new contemporary witchcraft literature has pushed it into it being about the self, but healing the self from just like the daily world. And it's lost the idea of oppression. And I think that is
Yes,
actually
all 100%.
where witchcraft came from, and which is why it was so popular with teenagers in the late 80s, early 90s, is because teenage angst.
Yeah.
It was a great space for it to go in because teenagers always feel like they're oppressed by their elders.
And now it just feels like, and not saying that everyone and their mom can't do witchcraft. I love that. There is an aspect of it that I absolutely love, where it's become more popular and it's not as taboo, but I just feel like, again, you're correct, it's lost its meaning. It's lost its rawness and its grittiness, and it's not the same anymore. And every time I go into an alternative store, even just like a homeware store, and I see that white witch mug, I literally want to scream inside. I just like, or like a coffee tumbler that says witch's brew on it. I'm like, okay, I can't handle this because it's so everywhere now and it's commercialized, like we've talked about before. It's so commercialized, and I don't, I love a mug, but like, I don't want it to be at the forefront of everything. I don't want people to use it in that way. I feel like it's abused and overused.
Yes. I think there are negatives and positives around the commodification of the craft, which we've talked about on the podcast before. Mm-hmm. This
totally.
Idea, the craft moving into a capitalist society where actually it, you can get things that you could never get before.
Yes, great. Which is great.
It's super cool. Super cool that you can do that. It's great that you, in England, I'm going to say that from my context, you can turn around
yeah.
and be acknowledged as a witch and no one to give two hoots at all.
Yeah. Right.
I say England because I know there's many listeners in parts of the world where you can't fucking do that. You know,
no, yeah.
Not only will people think you're a batshit, you know, you might get ostracized from your community.
But also it begs the question, like, is it okay that we can just buy dragon's blood from anywhere? Like, it begs the question, like, these ingredients and these things that we've used. And also it brings up cultural appropriation as well, which is my favorite term on this podcast. but it does, because there was all that controversy around conversation, I can't speak right now, around using white sage. Mm-hmm. And that became a cancel culture thing for a really long time because of the cultural appropriation behind it. And it was like, okay, so maybe we shouldn't have easy access to all of these things because not everybody educates themselves on a level that is appropriate, if you know what I mean.
Yes. And you don't need all that shit. You don't need it.
No.
Really?
No,
don't
you
need
don't.
It. You don't need any.
No,
of it.
Not at all.
No. Although, don't fucking grow mugwort in your garden.
No, because it takes over everything. Same with mint. Anything in the mint family, you're screwed.
You're like such a cunt for doing that's such a horrible thing. Sorry.
Okay.
It grows all around me, and I was like, I'm gonna have this wonderful witchy garden, and I grew mugwort. We've talked about this on the show before of like, oh, I need
we have.
To pull it up because before it seeds,
and no, it chokes out everything else too.
I remember saying as well, I was like, I've got a feeling that it also is rhizomatic. It grows as rhizomes under the ground. It does.
Mm-hmm.
Not
yeah,
only
it
does it seed, it grows in with its roots underneath. And it's
which is mint. It's like mint. Mint does the same thing.
And
yeah.
I was listening to Witch Bitch Amateur Hour. Love Charlie and
yes, Liz. Shout out.
They covered mugwort recently, and Maisie was explaining that not only is it a prolific grower, but it also releases a hormone into the soil that then suppresses the growth of the other plants around it.
Yeah, it chokes it out. Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah.
So
yeah, 100%.
Thanks, mugwort. So I was out in the piss wet rain the other day listening to this podcast. I'm not even joking, ran out into my garden on my lunch
break.
I looked like a maniac. I'm like, get out of my garden, you
yeah, so there's a reason I keep my catmint, my lemon balm, my mint, got like a couple different mints, but I keep them in separate containers and separate jars. Now this year I didn't cut it off in spring, late spring, like I usually do, so it seeded. Because I was lazy, and now I have freaking lemon balm and mint that's all over in my garden, even in the grass, because it seeded and flew everywhere, and I'm having to now rip it all out because I just
that's not good.
No.
There we go. That's so. Even if things aren't available to you and you want to make things yourself, don't put your fucking mugwort with the rest of your plants.
No, lesson learned, hey.
But I've got so much mugwort though, so much. I've got it hanging up everywhere in the kitchen. And I was thinking the other day about our episode on like taking witchy baths, and I took a witchy bath.
Ooh.
It was awful. I hated it.
Oh, because you had to get everything out of the drain when it was done. That's my
It took me out in the moment. At first I was like, witchy. And then like it started sticking to my skin. And I was like, like it felt like being in the sea when the seaweed touches you.
Because it's all like soggy.
Yeah. And then I got out and it's like still stuck on me.
You have to take a shower afterwards.
And our shower's in the other room. So we've got another shower room. So I had to then like walk through the house and then shower myself and then clean a drain afterwards. I was like,
legacy. Come on. Milky baths aren't it.
Yeah, absolutely. Is it called the Craft Legacy? Is that the name of the
region? Yeah, it's called Craft Legacy. I'm pretty sure. Don't quote me on that. I'm pretty sure it is, though.
You can tell, though, they have been informed by popular... It's very informed by popular culture.
It is. And also, like, fashion trends and stuff were very prevalent. Regular, like, high school shenanigans. Like, it was very much, like, it didn't, it just felt like a teen movie.
The
I'll
thing
just
is that,
like,
like, what I'm saying in its defense is it's actually very accurate in the
oh
sense
yeah, no,
it is
yeah.
representing current contemporary witchcraft.
It is, and that was the cool thing about it, and you could see the transition that it had. Like I said, like you didn't really see the symbolism of the triple moon goddess, the three moons and stuff, very much. And like the Milky Baths, I'm trying to think of other things they did. They had like they were lighting candles in the woods and stuff like that, and the stuff that they were chanting as well, and the things that they were saying were very much modern. And I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. But then like the storyline was lost, and everything just kind of.
The thing I think I really hope there's no new time listeners to this episode because it's just such a weird episode to jump in on. We haven't even had a topic or anything,
Was
but
gonna say, when is our episode not weird though? Like.
well, like this is a very unfocused welcome back episode.
Yeah, guys, welcome back to this.
What we need to be careful of in what we're saying is we're not glorifying either the witchcraft that existed necessarily before that, you know, Gardnerian
Yeah.
Wicca and you know this problematic aspects of witchcraft. I think this is
Yeah.
problematic everywhere. What we do is not necessarily better than what anyone else does.
No, of course not. And it's like I said, it's all individual, isn't it? Like, so, like, we say that so much on this. Our podcast should just be like trigger words of like individual spiritualist.
But I know, and that is why I think that coming back to the skeptic, that is why it's so important to have a dash of skepticism to question
Yeah.
what are you doing? Why are you doing it? What is the outcome?
Well, it's something that I, you know, I'm gonna go back to that as well, but like something that I find is even as a witch, I see other witches doing things and I'm like cringing. Do you know what I mean? And that's where the skepticism comes in. I'm like, ooh, like, you know, and so, and that's not to judge anyone because, well, it is, but I'm digging myself a hole here. What am I trying to say?
Dig it. That's what we do on this
Basically,
podcast. You know,
yeah, so like you see other witches, maybe of an older generation or what have you. In my case, I'm thinking of an example, where they're doing things and you're kind of like, ooh, like, don't like that. That, and, but it seems, and I use this term a lot, fluffy witchcraft. It seems very much kitschy and fluffy and not very like accurate, but it is to them. It is to them. But to me, I cringe a little bit, and that's where my skepticism also comes in, where it's like, are you, is it real? Because you see these people like on television, these mediums and these like witches being like, oh yes, la da 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 da, like, I could move a feather across the room. Oh, that's TikTok, but you get my point.
I
Like,
do. Make the incense wiggle.
oh my God, literally. And you're like, is that though? Like, that's where my skin, it makes me seem what I do not real.
I think that is because of a misconception of what magic is. I think people are looking at magic as this like thing that's gonna like throw sparkles out their
Fix
fingers.
their life. Yeah.
And
It's not bewitched.
it's not, we wish it was, but it's
Yeah,
not.
it's not.
It's not. I think what I really struggle with, and this is, I don't know what this is. I really struggle when I see videos of people performing ceremony. I think or like, and I have that awareness in myself when I'm doing something quite ceremonial. Or it's something quite intense where I'm casting a circle. I'm like, if anyone is looking at me, I'm gonna look like a twat.
Yeah, and that's it. That's you feel weird.
I'm not at that point with all the years of doing this, all the years of being on this podcast, advocating for people's individualism and you know, you do you. I still feel like a tool when I'm doing
Same.
things. And it's really hard to brush that judgment away. I don't I'm no one day, and maybe that is the thing. Maybe it's because I look at the honesty and authenticity to of which those people perform ceremony and think, wow, I would love to be as completely in belief of everything I'm saying and doing with full confidence.
Yeah.
This is a weird connection. It's a weird connection, this one. At the gym.
It.
There are people, and it's the same people who at the gym are happy to stand there in front of you, bollocko naked, having a conversation. And I'm not here for that. I'm not here for
No.
that. I'm not like, I want to be in the corner with my towel, like
Yeah.
hiding my shame in the corner.
Yeah.
like, and just getting changed and running out of there. And there's that kind of like naked honesty of the self that actually, when I kind of was walking away from it, was thinking, that's really admirable, actually, to be just so natural and confident and have a conversation as if we're just like down the pub and I'm trying to look away in the corner. And I think that is maybe something I would like to foster in my own craft, is a
What
feeling.
sky clad?
Yeah, well, no, oh my gosh, no. Nothing against people who do Sky. Do you know what? This is another side tangent. I have tried that once.
Oh, okay, fair. Did you run through the woods naked?
No, even weirder.
Oh, okay.
I went out in the garden naked. And was
I'm
like,
gonna.
I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna try it. I'm just gonna do it. And it was liberating. It was liberating. But it was cold.
Well,
After the first initial, like, oh my gosh, it was, oh no, this is just weird now. Let's go in.
I have a side tangent for you too, and then I'll let you finish what you're gonna say. But just to interject here, my family are all nudists, always have been. My older generation of grandparents. So our summers were going to different nudist colonies as a child, and I never felt comfortable with it. And so like I always make the joke that like I've seen more middle-aged naked bodies than I would like to have. So and like it was very uncomfortable even as a child. I didn't want to be naked. But yeah, there is that, like, you think of people who go to nudist colonies and like nudist beaches, and you really think, like you said, like, wow, they just like don't care. They give no fucks. They're just like out there with their balls to the wind, you know?
Yes. And I think maybe that's my takeaway from today, is how do I bring the concept of not the act of nudism, but the concept of nudism to my craft? How do I perform my craft naked?
Yeah, that raw
I like
nakedness.
that. I like that. I
Yeah.
really like that idea. Oh, that's a really good takeaway from today.
Yeah, actually, I like this. Good
New,
discussion. We've covered a
yeah.
lot of things.
It's.
Nuding
I think that I'm going to call it nuding the craft.
the craft. Oh God. No, yeah,
What
I
have
love
we
that.
covered today? We've got 6 minutes before our software boots us out. Today we've covered where we've been,
Yep, Samhain.
why we've been missing, what's happened over Samhain, Halloween horrors,
Yep.
ghosts contacting the dead. Why can't you contact them? It's
Chairs moving. Yep.
moving. Don't plant mugwort in your garden.
No.
That's fucking stupid.
The idea that witchcraft isn't real.
Witchcraft is just a big old fake thing that we talk about
Yeah.
on a podcast.
Don't watch The Craft Legacy. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, yeah, we've trashed the craft legacy, but also given it some legitimacy within popular culture.
Yeah.
Talked about wanting to nude our craft.
Should we maybe catch up in a few weeks when we record another podcast as well and see if we've gone raw and unfiltered with our witchcraft, see if we work on a little bit.
Well, this is a theme. The podcast is
Yeah.
now raw and unfiltered. So let's do the same for our
Yeah.
witchcraft. I'm
Yeah, let's do
really
it.
excited about it. I almost feel like one way to do it might be to record myself doing it, doing
Okay.
something, record something. And play, not play it back to anyone else necessarily, play it back to myself and just feel comfortable with the performativity of witchcraft.
I love that. I look forward to that. Well, not look forward to it, but hearing about
Maybe
it.
that's a little task for anyone listening, is
Yeah.
if you are feeling that way, let's give that a go and see how we feel about it.
Raw and unfiltered, baby.
Raw and
Take
unfiltered.
the training wheels off. Let's do this.
Let's do it. It's been wonderful. It's been so good. I'm really excited for us to be back, and I hope we can whip ourselves into shape and keep to some fucking schedule.
Absolutely. I've missed you, even though I talked to you like very frequently and I
I
saw you recently.
know. I miss this so much. It's really good, and it's a really nice reminder to come back to the things that we do and the things that we love as well.
Yeah.
That's what's wonderful. It's just nice to have a chat. See
Absolutely. And I look
you.
forward to the next couple of weeks of getting back into this. And I hope our listeners do too. And we've also missed you. And we're sorry if you've missed us and messaged us a million times asking if we're alive, because we are. We're here. We
Yes.
promise.
I've not responded to all of the messages, but yes, we are. We're fine. We're happy. We're alive.
Yes.
We're just a few problems getting there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
And I'll see you next week. You can find me, Rowan, at SOTW with Rowan on Instagram.
You can find me, Tess, at The Obscura Witch on Instagram.
So don't forget to stay sassy, classy,
witchy, and bitchy.